Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. I needed to let you know that we are coming down to the wire on RebateJet.com. What's RebateJet? It's a platform I created for you guys, the small to medium-sized sellers trying to compete against those big brands with those big budgets. Go now to RebateJet.com, sign up for that free seller account before it goes away this month. Now, why do you want to be a part of RebateJet? Just a few things. You can list promo codes for free. You can offer 3 rebates free per day. You can list your products and sell them directly to our customers on our website. We even have a free liquidation marketplace for you to unload products that didn't work out. We also have something else crazy in the works. You guys are going to love it. Go now, RebateJet.com. Now onto the show.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wiese.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. This is Seller Roundtable number 49. This is your host, Andy Arnott, with my co-host,
Amy Wiese.
And we are super excited to have Julia Ibrahim on today. She's going to show us all her super secret ninja accounting tips, tricks, and tactics. Thank you so much for being on, Julia.
Thank you for having me. So my name is Julia Ibrahim. I can start off by introducing myself. I am a certified public accountant, certified internal auditor. I'm a QuickBooks Advanced Pro Advisor and Xero Certified as well. And my background is in government auditing. I've been auditing for New York State for about 9 years. And I'm currently running a full-service accounting and tax firm called All United Accounting and Tax. We specialize in e-commerce, and we help e-commerce businesses save money on taxes, utilizing some tax strategies. We help also to maintain compliance with federal and state government authorities. And most importantly, we'll get you accurate and financial data and projections to help your business grow and make the best management decisions on time and correct you.
Awesome.
And can I just throw in something here? You know, I found Julia, I'm lucky I found her because she does my accounting and she does some accounting for Andy and I too. And, you know, I started, when I first started, I kind of went the affordable, the cheapest route I could go. Not that Julia is not affordable, but I went with a local accountant and I found that my tax returns were done completely incorrectly. None of my Amazon sales and things like that were actually properly accounted for. And so I started going through this process of talking to the people in my network saying, who do you use for accounting and what should you, you know, so I'm interviewing all these accountants and trying to figure things out. And Julia just did such a great job explaining everything to me. And then she also did a really great job of cleaning everything up. She not only had to redo all of my tax returns, submit letters to the IRS, all of that kind of stuff to keep me from getting audited. But she also realized that my prior year return was incorrect as well. And she corrected that. So she paid more than paid for herself just in the first time of utilizing her services. So I just, that's my, my glowing recommendation for Julia is she's just been wonderful helping me kind of navigate all of this confusing accounting stuff as I start new businesses. As my business grows, you know, I'm always throwing crazy questions at her, which of course we'll get into during this podcast, but just wanted to add that in there that she does a great job with my accounting. And I thank you so much, Julia, for cleaning things up for me.
Thank you, Amy.
So, all right, Julia, you ready to get grilled here? Just give us a little bit more background on, you give us some of your work stuff, like, you know, background on, and you don't have to share this if you don't want to, but it's always nice to just, I love to hear about kind of, you know, people's past, where you were born, where you live now, anything you did, you kind of mentioned your past jobs, college, school, kind of anything you want to mention for us and our listeners to get to know you a little bit better.
Oh, sure. Okay. So yeah, I come from Russia. I came in my teenage years. I went to college here. I went to college back in Russia and then I transferred here. So I completed my business degree. I completed my accounting degree I got my CPA right away on the first try. And while working for the government, I also got my certified internal auditor license as well. So that's that. And then I right away started my accounting firm. It was kind of on a part-time basis for a while. And then it just grew and grew further, and that I just had to leave the job that I was doing as a government auditor. And my team, they all miss me, but but I had to do this because I like working for myself much better, and my firm is growing now much more than I anticipated in the last few years. And we've been specializing in e-commerce, and that's probably one of the reasons it's been growing exponentially, because a lot of e-commerce businesses are very not very aware of how the accounting is done for e-commerce specifically. And I think this industry needs more of e-commerce accountants.
Yeah, we need a lot of help. I know that before I got my accountant, I was lost, and numbers are not my strong suit by any means. And, you know, as Amy mentioned, you know, generally if you vet your accountant, you find a good one like Julia, they're going to more than pay for themselves almost every single time. So just keep that in mind. I know everybody's afraid of that, expense, but in our case, it was the same kind of situation where, you know, there was some changes that they made, you know, kind of right away, like, you know, making, suggesting we become an S corp. You know, and some other things that, you know, made some big differences. So, you know, to me, it's definitely worth at least looking into, but, you know, highly suggest, especially if your business is growing and scaling, definitely something to consider. So, Julia, when did you kind of first hear about, you know, Amazon and e-commerce, and why did you specialize it? Like, did you just see an opportunity there? Were you interested in it? Did you sell previously? Why did you get into e-commerce specifically?
So I got into e-commerce for a few reasons. So it was kind of natural, coming from my husband used to sell on eBay. So I kind of knew that, and I knew it would be very hard. And the accounting, I was doing the accounting back then from the very beginning for our business, but it didn't work out. So my husband stopped that because it's just not his thing. But that's something that gave me an idea to kind of start specializing in e-commerce. I used to do generalist accounting work, but I realized that I didn't know as much as I know now about the e-commerce accounting back then. So even though we were running a business, it was a struggle, even though I was an accountant too. And it was pretty high. So I kind of started to, you know, research more and try to help. And I got a lot of clients who needed help. And I built up my experience in that. And now I feel like I know how to deal with the accounting for e-commerce sellers. That's why this is my specialty right now.
That's great. Yeah. I love that. The fact that, you know, a lot of times, you know, people will build or do things where they see that there's something lacking for themselves. Right. So you guys figured out that, you know, that accounting for e-commerce was difficult and that there was an opportunity there. So that's awesome. I kind of did the same thing with, you know, my app business, my software, Amazon, all those kinds of things as well. So I love that. One other quick thing I just realized, Amy, this is another podcast where we're all former government employees of some type.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yes, love it. Good old government. There's nothing teaching you like how to deal with the ups and the downs than working for government.
It's true.
And the red tape and the, yeah, exactly.
Exactly, and following the rules. We've got to make sure we follow the rules.
Yeah.
So, you know, just piggybacking on what Andy said about, you know, making sure it's scary to hire an accountant because a lot of people don't want to deal with that expense. But I've given this advice so many times. Make sure, you guys, that even if you're at the very beginning of your business and you're not making enough money to pay an accountant or a bookkeeper yet, right, at least meet with one. At least meet with one, because you can meet one time. And, you know, I know when I first did this, I kind of just met with one just to like, okay, should I be using QuickBooks? How do I set that up? Most accountants, even if you can't afford to pay them for bookkeeping or for anything, you know, for the taxes, stuff like that, they'll at least, it's worth you paying one time to consult with them to get you on track and, you know, do a little DIY. And maybe you just have them look over things once a quarter, or maybe you have them look over things just at tax time, but then have them set you up for success from the beginning. So even our new business owners that are listeners, I really want to encourage you. This is one of the fundamentals of business that will really bite you later if you do it incorrectly. So make sure that you at least take the time to set up, sit down with an accountant and just kind of learn the basic things that you should be doing. Get a consultation, understand, you know, how your business should be set up. And even if you have to do it on your own, you know, you have a little bit more empowerment and some knowledge to at least somewhat do it, not as good as they would, but better than you would just on your own had you not had that consultation. So, and speaking of that, Julia, I would love to ask you, you know, what steps should you take to properly set up your e-commerce business when you're ready to start? Like, how do we start? How do we get there?
Okay, so if you are ready to start your business, I highly recommend that you would form a separate business entity, separate legal entities such as LLC or corporation. It's not a requirement, but it's highly recommended because you would set it up as a separate serious business from the start. It's just very important along down the road for you. So the way what you set up, which entity type you would set up would depend on your goals, would depend on your budget, your plans, and what state you're in America, or if you're outside of America. So it all depends what type of entity you would need to set up, but it's highly recommended to have a separate entity for your business. Second step would be to get your EIN number. It's almost simultaneous with forming your business pretty much. So you can do it the same day. It's very important that you, when you get your EIN, you select the correct entity type and select the right business type, because you don't want to have it done corrected or need to be if it needs to be corrected in the future. So
and to get that EIN number, you mm-hmm. just go to, if you're in the US, you just go mm-hmm. to the irs.gov website and yeah. you put in, so this is after you file your entity and you've got your, you know, your organization documents and you know, okay, I'm a C Corp, you know, that kind of thing, or you put that in there and literally in minutes, you are up and running and the IRS will give you an EIN. So it's very instantaneous. It doesn't cost anything, but mm-hmm. that EIN then enables you to start a bank account for your business and file your taxes as a business and set up your reseller's licenses and all of those things that you might need. So great, great tip there, Julia. Please continue.
Yes. So yeah, you already kind of dipped into it a little bit. So it's important that once you get formed your entity, it's important to have your business account opened. If you can't, because some businesses don't have opportunity to have a separate business account, at least have your personal account, bank account separately set up exclusively for business. So it's not commingling funds with your personal funds, because it might cause you some issues down the road after that. And it's much harder to keep track of your numbers this way.
And so, if you are starting with a personal budget like I did, you know, my business didn't have any credit in the beginning. So I had to take some of my personal funds and put it into a business bank account and so that I could use it. And even when I use personal credit cards, I just use those for business. Right. So I don't, you know, Julia yells at me if I don't. So, and I don't like to get yelled at. No, I'm just kidding. She's very nice. But, you know, if you're needing to use personal credit cards, which a lot of people do when they first start out their business, you want to make sure that you're specifically using that card for business, and that card is what is attached, and you're not then, okay, let me go grocery shopping with that next week, and then let me go back and buy office supplies for my business. So it's okay to use personal funds, but don't commingle them in your account. Put them in your business account, or use that personal credit card only for business expenses and don't mix them. Is that right, Julia?
Yes, yes, you're correct here. Yes, so that's that. And the last step would be to find out what your sales tax obligations are in your home state, if you're in the United States, because right now the law is constantly changing. Some marketplaces are collecting and remitting sales tax on your behalf. Some states would still require you to have to register for sales tax collection. Other states would say close your license if you're just selling on Amazon, for example. But if you're selling on Shopify, that's a different story, because Shopify does not remit sales tax on behalf of the seller. So it's kind of complicated. So you would need to do your research and find out what your sales tax obligations are. From the very beginning, so that you don't get caught after that and get someone.
And that's something else to consider as well when setting up your entity. So I know a lot of people, and we're not lawyers, and we recommend you go talk to a lawyer about that. Mm-hmm. But I get that question all the time: is Amy, should I set up my entity in Wyoming? Because wherever you set it up, you need to do your research and find out what the tax implications are. Because the last thing that you would want to happen is you're running along in your business and you're growing and everything is going good, and all of a sudden a state sends you a letter and says, you owe us a good chunk of change. And you're like, what? I didn't even know about that. So yeah, definitely whatever state you choose to incorporate in, make sure you, as Julia says, that you know the tax laws and the sales tax requirements.
Yes.
Very good. So what steps should e-commerce, so we've talked about when you're getting ready to start, but what about during their first year or two of business? So now we've gotten our first product out there, it's selling, we're in our first year or two of business. What now?
So what now is you would need to have some kind of system in place where you would track your numbers. That's very important, and a lot of sellers neglect that step. For some reason, they either assume that marketplace is tracking it all for you, or it's all in your head. It can't be. So you need to put a system in place. So the general idea is to track your gross sales and your business expenses. So and then the net would be what you keep in your pocket, the net sales, and you would need to also keep track of your inventory. That's very important because it makes a direct impact on your taxes. If you were, for example, some sellers would code all the inventory as cost of goods sold, even if it's not sold yet, they would still code it as a cost of goods sold. So they technically reducing their income when it's really should be, that inventory should still be in the inventory and not in cost of goods sold, which is an expense. So I'm sorry to get into all this accounting detail, but
I was actually watching the Prophet the other day, and he was explaining with Marcus Lemonis, and he was explaining the importance of that, because I think that's called cost-based accounting and the IRS does not like that. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, what you're doing is you're saying that inventory is already sold, when in fact, that's actually part of, your asset list, or your, what you could report as, hey, we haven't made this money yet. This money's tied up, and that could actually be better for your taxes in the long run. Am I tracking that correctly?
Yes, yes. So that's very important in the first 2 years of business. So, but to start, when you are just starting, even going into the first 2 years, make sure you track your receipts as well, because your bank statements and your credit cards are not enough. It's not sufficient to just have those in case you get an audit notice or something. They would need a receipt, the actual physical receipts for the expenses to support those expenses.
Yes, so, I learned this the hard way when Julia, you know, was fixing my tax returns and everything. She said, do you have receipts for all these things? Because if the IRS audits you, that's going to be a problem. And we hadn't been, you know, we hadn't been tracking our receipts. We were just like, it's in QuickBooks. It's fine, right? Mm-hmm. No, it's not fine. Yeah. So what I use now is Airtable. Airtable has a really great expenses template, and you can put the Airtable app on your phone. And so it's very easy. When I'm on the go, I just take a picture of that receipt and it, you know, put in the information and what the expense was for. And that enables Julia to be able to pull that receipt down and take a look at it. But for me, that's the easiest way to not have to like hang on to all this paper or lose it. As soon as I make the purchase, as soon as it happens, I take the picture with the app on my phone, and then it automatically gets uploaded to the Airtable. So that's my little trick for it. I know QuickBooks also has a way to upload receipts, but for those of you who are not as adept at QuickBooks or you want an easier free way to keep track of receipts, Airtable is a good option.
Amy, I just showed you the other trick that I just found out too, if you guys want to do this. Looks like it's not on iPhone yet, which is weird, but on Android, there's actually a scan option now on Google Drive. So you pull up your Google Drive, you hit the plus button, and it'll say scan. You can have a folder in there that says like receipts, you know, 2020, and then you just take a picture of it, and then it automatically goes into that folder. Done. It takes like 5 seconds. I've been using that for my wife and I are doing a house flip right now. So, you know, we have stuff that when we go to the hardware store that we are expensing for that home flip. So we've been using that. It's been working really well. I'm going to start using it for all my businesses.
Yeah, so, that was a really good tip.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. More like a lot of my clients use that same Google Drive we use to exchange documents. I think, Amy, we also kind of started off that way, but you wanted to switch to Airtable. So, and it works, you know, every client is different. So it works everybody for differently for everybody. But however you do it, you need to track your receipts. You need to try to put it all in one place, not all over the place. And even some receipts, if you have them in the email, just, you know, maybe save that email, print it into PDF and upload it to whatever system you're using. And you can safely save that receipt for yourself in the future. Because IRS doesn't come after you that same year. They would come after you 2-3 years from now. And then what you're going to do if you don't have those receipts? You're going to get allowances and you don't want that. That's the worst thing you can that can happen. So definitely keep receipts.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other tips for the first year or two of business? I know something that you turned us on to was A2X software, which that software really helps take all of Amazon's charges and, you know, your inventory at the product sale level. And at first I was like, Julia, I don't have that many SKUs. I'm not like Andy over here with 800, you know, I don't need to be paying another monthly amount. But then as soon as, you know, she made a good argument for it, but as soon as I saw the level of detail and how much then we were able to translate that into, you know, what we report to the IRS, that really, you know, was again, a small price to pay. And it just breaks everything down, like all of your fees, the things that sometimes show up on one screen in a report on Amazon, it breaks it all down into like tiny little chunks. So then, you know, you have your advertising and you've got every level of your product sale, your fees, all that kind of stuff, and it imports it into QuickBooks. So for those of you who haven't checked out A2X, that's another thing that we used in our first 1 to 2 years to get things on track at the recommendation of our accountant. So anything else for the first 2 years to keep people on track?
I would say another recommendation would be if your business is growing fast, then definitely take a look at your business legal structure. If that's still valid, if it's still the most tax advantages for you, for your business, because maybe you started out with LLC, but down the road, maybe in a couple of years, you might want to change that and save yourself some money on taxes and get some other benefits. If that's something, you know, if your business dramatically changed over the past 2 years. So it depends.
Oh, that's a really good tip. Because you might be paying a bunch of freelancers right now through the 1099 method, and maybe you would be better off switching over to an S-Corp and W-2ing yourself. I know there's a lot of really cool, I've been asking Julia, like, for Amazing at Home, like, can I write off my clothing that I wear to go do public speaking? And she's like, not as the entity that you would have to switch that to S-Corp and make that an employee benefit. So there's a lot of cool things you can do as you grow with different entities. So if you're running into problems where you're not able to write off certain things that you're like, but wait, that's for my business, that's not for personal, it might be a limitation of the type of entity. So talk with your accountant about that and make sure that you're looking at your expenses and what the benefits would be if you swapped over. Yep. Very cool.
Julia, quick question on that. Sorry, Amy. So Julia, what I was wondering is, when we went to our accountant years ago, his justification, tell me if you agree with this, is that if you make more than $1 million a year, then the S Corp makes more sense than an LLC. Is that true?
Or
is that a hard and fast rule, or is that just like a starting point to like start looking at that?
I get this question a lot, and I would say it all depends on your particular situation. At $1 million in net profit, that S Corp would probably make sense much more than LLC, definitely, I would say. But I will always recommend to do an analysis of a comparison of different business legal entities and how much you would be paying in taxes as LLC, as S Corp, C Corp. So right now, it's just hard to say, and the law constantly changes. The last couple of years, the tax law changed again. The percentages changed. So yeah, it would all
looks like I'm going to have him reevaluate, see if it's still the best setup.
You might want, especially at that point, you would want to reevaluate more often than less. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's more costly to have. I know I was looking into that as well. And when I ran the numbers and everything as an S-Corp, I had a friend who was actually an accountant auditor run my numbers for me. And she explained, like, hey, there's a lot of people that she had worked with that had switched over to the S-Corp, and it was actually costing them more because they were just not ready to be there yet in their business. So that's why it's so important to have an awesome accounting professional. But yeah, I get that question a lot too. Like, what kind of entity should I form? And I always tell people, like, go talk to your lawyer and your accountant. That's what you should do. So speaking of accounting and systems and software, we talked about A2X, but are there any other systems or software tools you would recommend that people have in place for regular accounting and really keeping track of things once they grow beyond the spreadsheet?
Yes. So that's what I was going to start kind of when you are just starting. It's okay to have your numbers on spreadsheets, but you will find that that's overwhelming very quickly. You'll outgrow that if your business keeps growing. And especially for the inventory tracking, it's really hard to track on the Excel spreadsheet. So what I would recommend, once you feel overwhelmed with Excel spreadsheets, go ahead and sign up for a formal accounting system such as QuickBooks Online or Xero. Now, I'm not affiliated with any of these softwares, just letting you know that something comes from the experience and what my clients use and what's most popular out there. So QuickBooks Online seems to be the most popular right now. It's a double entry accounting system, an official system where you would have your financial reports ready to be exported. Profit and loss, your balance sheet, your statement of cash flows, and it would make sure that your transactions and your financial data is complete, rather than having yourself putting into Excel spreadsheet the transactions that you think are the transactions for your business. The QuickBooks would pull them automatically from your bank account or your credit cards. And all you would have to do is categorize it correctly. And, you know, that would take care of completeness piece. At least you are not missing anything. Sure.
I know, you know, this was a big aha moment for me because I was doing QuickBooks incorrectly on my own in the beginning. And then when you took over bookkeeping for me and we have our monthly accounting meetings, it was such an aha moment to, you know, you're walking me through my profit and loss and you're really helping me understand, oh, wow, that was my expenses. Oh, that's how much I spent on software. Oh, wow. Okay. That's how much revenue I made on this or that. So it was really cool to, you know, doing it by myself. I didn't really get all of that data because I was incorrectly coding all of those things. So I had to learn that. But then after you started taking it over and really showing me how everything breaks down, we were able to see very quickly and easily, oh, wow, we need to work on that expense, or that's doing really well. You know, that's a really good source of income for us or revenue for us. So it's really great to be able to see that number at the end of the month, and it kind of holds you accountable. But I love QuickBooks for that reason. And it's so easy because we can just connect our credit cards and our bank accounts and it just automatically goes in there. And then those charges that you might not have remembered, maybe you forgot to take a picture of a receipt. And you know, if your bank account is connected, you say, what was that $35 charge? What happened there? Or the credit card, you know, and you have to expense every single one of those things in QuickBooks. So it's really great to see like what's going on and where you're spending your money. And for me, I didn't really realize that until we had a bookkeeper. You know, we grew large enough to actually have a bookkeeper take care of those things for us, because before that was tough doing it all on our own.
Yes, definitely. It's not easy.
Yeah. So anything else on systems or software that people should have in place?
Yes. So I wanted to mention the inventory tracking part. I wouldn't use QuickBooks for that. I would recommend a separate tool for that. Usually, if you are selling on Amazon in North America, many businesses use Inventory Lab. That has been very useful for the businesses. But also, just wanted to mention that A2X actually has the cost of goods sold tracking built in right now. It's a relatively new feature, but you can do that as well if you're selling on Amazon or Shopify or both. You would be able to also have your cost of goods sold pulled automatically into your QuickBooks. And that would take care of that part. But you still need to make sure that your cost of goods sold are set up correctly. Because if your inventory, if you're estimating your unit cost wrong, then your numbers will be wrong, obviously. So make sure that it's set up correctly. And you do need, for the A2X, you do need some basic accounting knowledge to set it up correctly, because I get a lot of clients coming in who have been using A2X, but it wasn't set up correctly. And sometimes even by their own bookkeeper, because it was, the bookkeeper is not specializing in e-commerce, they don't really know the tool. So I would need to, you know, I needed to kind of correct that, the setup, and then redo the A2X imports. But that's something to, you know, to be on the lookout. And another tool that I would recommend for sales tax is TaxJar. It's, you know, one of the most popular tools right now that people are using. And there are other tools out there, like Avalara, for example, but TaxJar, I would say, is the most popular. And you also need to kind of know what's going on with the sales tax situation, because TaxJar would give you some hints, would give you the numbers, but you still need to manually make sure that you're following, you're in compliance with all the states and
Thanks for tuning in to part one of this episode. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at sellerroundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, sellerseo.com and amazingathome.com.